strong service, and he praised the Lord for all that's accomplished in our church services. Again, I will be absent Sunday. I will be in Denver Springs, Louisiana at Bible conference. I will be back Sunday afternoon late. So I'm looking forward to being down there with those wonderful folks. If you turn your Bible to chapter 13 of Romans, we started a message last week, which I really enjoyed putting this together. I've still got a couple more points I want to add later for next week, but we only got really one point done last week. It goes kind of slow when you start getting deeper into things. So let's go to Romans chapter 13, excuse me, and we'll start with verse 19 and go to the end of the chapter. He says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, Lord's not talking here to lost people. He's talking to Christians. This letter was written to the church at Rome. Christians. He said in verse 13, he said, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is a commandment for us, not lost people. Then verse 10, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, and that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. It is the completion of it. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not rioting and drunken, not chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying. And then he said in verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Two things here he covered a lot of things, but two we want to basically look at, and we're really looking at in verse 14, but he says in verse 12, the last part, let us put on the armor of light. And then in verse 14, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. So he's telling us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I mean, this short little series is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We started in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen to verse 10. He says, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. So when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are complete in him. We've already had that, so we're going to move on. I don't have time to go back over last week's message altogether. But go to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. In verse 26, he says, for you are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. We're not all the children of God in the world. Only those that have faith in Christ Jesus as their Savior are the children of God. People in the world get it all wrong, don't they? He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no difference between them. Listen to them. There's no difference in us. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's what we are, beloved. We're all one in Christ Jesus. If we all put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we look the same, don't we? Do we not? If we're wearing Christ, we all look like Christians, don't we? He goes on in verse 29 and says, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Did you hear that? People want to separate the Jews and the Gentiles. He said there's no difference, neither Jew nor Greek, as Jew or Gentile. There's no difference in us. We're all one in Christ. They're not twofold. We're all spiritually Israel. We're all under the promises of Abraham. Abraham was made the father of many nations. I don't know why people can't understand it. But then he goes on, not only promised Abraham's seed, part of Abraham's seed, and he said, heirs according to the promise. It don't matter if you're Jews or Gentiles, or Jews and Greek, or Jews and whatever. We're all one in Christ. And the Lord tells us to put him on, like a clothing. Now let's go down to our next point. We're going to 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to go over there with me tonight. I wanted to build that in to make us understand where we left off, because we actually did leave off. We already did that 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go ahead and I got to get to this other part. Let's go 1 Thessalonians 5. So our first point was what it means to put on Christ. That's what it means, isn't it? We're all the same. I said last week, we all went to the codes up here, and we, of course, I couldn't buy a suit up there. I didn't have any fits fat boys like me. But we all went to codes up there. Rebecca works, and I say codes because we could get a discount up there if we bought it under her. I'm just kidding. Hate that. And we all bought blue suits just like it put it on. We walked out of the parking lot, we'd all look alike, wouldn't we? That's where we are. We're putting on Christ, isn't it? You should be able to tell what a Christian is by their actions and life, what they're wearing. So that's what it means to put on Christ, to wear him like a garment. Third, Christ's spirit and grace is part of our garment. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. These are mentioned also in Ephesians chapter 6, aren't they? Remember Ephesians chapter 6, when you go over there to, I think it's verse 7 down? And he talks about the armor of faith and armor and all of these things. Here he mentions too, isn't it? The breastplate of love and faith for a helmet with hope, with the hope of salvation. Why just these two? Well, these two are arms for us. They're defensive weapons, aren't they? The breastplate to protect our heart. Our hearts can be turned, can't they? They have to be protected, don't they? And then the helmet to guard our heads. That's where our thinking is, isn't it? They are both defensive weapons. Because the heart is where we believe, and the head is where we do our thinking. And these two armors protect us there. A lot of Christians need to put these back on. They've taken them off. They need to put them back on. Stop going along with the crowd. Stop forgetting about the Church of Jesus Christ. Stop forgetting about the sovereign grace of God. Stop forgetting that grace is what brought us to Christ. Because there's a lot of Christians and pastors today that's forgetting those things. I know they are. They need to wear the breastplate and the helmet here, don't they? To protect themselves. The heart of a Christian needs to be guarded against the assault and the influence of Satan's weapons of this evil world. Satan uses things to turn us. And one way he turns a lot of Christians is through demonizing us. Telling us how rotten and sorry and underhanded, how we're like snakes because we're against abortion. Because we're against homosexuality. Calling us homophobes. All other gross names that he could think of. You sit around and heard politicians like Hillary Clinton name them. I mean, there's like a list of 15 they call us. Because we're Christians. Because we believe in the Word of God. And a lot of people are falling prey to that. They're falling into the trap of Satan on those things. They're starting to allow it to affect them. And that's sad. You got to put on Christ. You got to put on all these things, the armor mentioned in Ephesians 6. I ain't over there yet. We're going to go there. In fact, you can go ahead and turn it to Ephesians 6 if you want there. The breastplate guards the heart of the of the earthly warrior in the battle of his evil world. Remember, they used to wear these things in the old days. When they went to battle, they had these big old shields over their chest. Cops wear them today in their vests, bulletproof vests, to protect themselves. We need to wear them too in the Word of God to protect us. Folks, we are not as strong as we think we are. We are flesh. We can be affected. There's not a Christian alive, not a pastor alive, not a missionary alive, not anybody alive that's a Christian that cannot be affected by these things if they're not wearing Christ. It's like they're ashamed of Christ. This is the reason they go out and sin. This is the reason they don't go to church. This is the reason they don't read their Bible. This is the reason that they don't pray. This is the reason they don't go and study at church. This is the reason they don't sit out at night and study. This is the reason they don't do these things. Because they're not putting on Christ. Christian wearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ needs all the armor of God. Why do you think God talked about it? But it starts here with the head and the heart. You need all the other armor, and we're going to get into it in just a minute. Let me go ahead and turn over. But you need all the armor, not just some, but all of it. But these are the two main ones. Why? To protect us. Our warriors go into a battle with all kinds of stuff. Our cops are dressed now with all kinds of stuff. Because people are trying to kill them. Satan's trying to kill us Christians. He's trying to destroy our hearts. He's trying to destroy our minds. Through all these names we're being called and all the ugliness. And he is succeeding with a lot of people. More than you know. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Lord said in verse 5, said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart unto Christ. Unto Christ. Skip down to verse 7. With good will doing service as the Lord and not as to men. I skipped down to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how we're strong. I'm not strong. You're not strong. We're flesh. We're only strong if we're wearing Jesus, aren't we? If we put on Christ. He says, put on the whole armor of God, all of it, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. What's that mean? What does that mean? What does that tell you? They're there. They're in your life. The wiles of the devil are present in your life today. You say, well, I'll just defeat him, really? Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting. You can't fight it. You can't fight Satan. Only way you can fight Satan is to reject him. And you're only going to reject Satan if you're wearing the Lord Jesus Christ as a garment. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, if you're wearing Christ and you got your armor on, you're ready, aren't you? You're ready for battle, aren't you? Lord tells us to stand firm and stand strong in the truth. 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 Not partial truth, but the truth of God's word. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of wickedness, not with ourselves, but with the gospel. And to take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication, in the Spirit, that's in the Holy Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and sanctification and supplications of all the saints. So he says here in verse 17, not just to fight the evil with ourselves, with our own powers, but with the word of God as part of our wardrobe, as our weapon. The truth of God's word is our battle tool. That's our offensive tool, our defensive tool. It's the word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says in verse 12 of Hebrews 4, for the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's living. And it's not only alive, it's powerful. Why? Because it's the word of God, isn't it? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Quick means alive. The Bible is the word of God. We're not fighting with just a book. We're fighting with the word of God. Our battle tool, our weapon, our battle weapon is God's word. If it's truth, it's God's word, isn't it? Where did the word of God come from? The Holy Spirit didn't. Men were inspired in the Holy Spirit and in their spirit to write the word of God. After every bit of it's truth. We don't come with just a book. We come with the power of God. This is the power of God. This can change people's hearts. This right here can turn and change anything God wants you for. The gospel is the most powerful tool in the world because it saves sinners. It makes people repent. It turns evil into righteousness. It turns evil workers into workers of righteousness. Like it did Saul of Tarsus into Paul. Like it did you into who you are today. But we must remember it all starts with breastplate to protect the heart and the helmet to guard the head. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as our clothing, wearing him. Now, if you will, go to Romans 4. Justification and sanctification. Justification and sanctification are the believer's two great necessities in life. However, neither is possible without wearing Jesus Christ. Justification is being righteous. Sanctification is being holy. The only way you can be holy and righteous is if you're clothed properly with the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, he sees his Son. He don't see us sinners. He sees us as justified people and sanctified people that are his children because he sees us in Jesus. He doesn't see us as people who have failed to fulfill the law. He sees us as people who have fulfilled the law. Because Christ fulfilled the law, didn't he? He never failed one law. Well, folks, we haven't either. Not in Christ. We did on our own, but we don't in Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, every one of us. God cannot see one single sin of ours. And he doesn't. Why? Because when he sees all of us, remember what I said about the blue suits? That's what God sees in us. He sees us as righteous people, justified, sanctified. Because he doesn't see us as we are in flesh. He sees us as we are in Christ. We're wearing Christ. Our justification is our acquittal or our sin pardon, making us righteous so we can be like Christ. Christ is righteous, isn't he? God gave the just for the unjust to make the unjust just. Hope I didn't confuse you with that. We're just. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're holy. Because we have Christ on. Not for any reason of our own. But because we have Christ on. Look at Romans chapter 4. Verse 24. And 25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, why? For our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Jesus didn't die because he was a sinner. Jesus died because he took our sins to the cross. So that we could be like him. Jesus didn't live the law to show God he could do it. He is God. He didn't have to show God nothing. Jesus lived the law to the fulfillment of it so that we could live the law in him. Everything Jesus done, he done in our place. So that when the Father sees us, the Father sees us wearing Christ as clothing. And to the Father, we all look the same. Justified and sanctified, and one day we will all be glorified all together when Jesus returns and takes us out of this world. His blood alone sanctified God's people for our sins. We must do more than believe in Jesus. We must believe in his death. We must believe in his burial. We must believe in his resurrection. And what is it was for us? That all of it was for us, you and me. That's what we must believe. Just to believe that Jesus, the Son of God, devils believed and trembled. We have to believe Christ for what he is, our Savior. But more than that, he's our garment. He's our stay of life. He is us in this world, and we are him in this world. His blood must be put on and worn. And worn with understanding of it, the blood's power to cleanse us. I get tired when Christians talk about God punishing them for their sin. Beloved, God is not going to punish us for our sin. We don't have any. Well, this will send you to hell. That will send you. There ain't nothing going to send a Christian to hell. Nothing. Nothing. There is no sin possible that will send a Christian to hell. It does not exist. If it did, then Jesus didn't die for it. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood to cleanse us. And if there's one out there that it didn't cover, then God lied to it, didn't he? We need to understand that. He is our righteousness, Christ. And he is our acceptance to God. We're not accepted to God on our own. These people that's going to work their way to heaven ain't going to get there. If you're going to get to the kingdom of God, if you're going to get to heaven when you die, you're going to be wearing the Lord Jesus Christ when you get there. You're going to go through him and through his blood and through his works. That's the only way you can ever be righteous in this world. Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. We need to understand that he is our righteousness and acceptance in God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, listen to the words. Listen to the words as God writes these. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, listen, wherein he had made us accepted, how? In the blood. We're not accepted any other way. You're not going to be accepted because you're a good person. You're not going to be accepted because you have good moral. Because you're a sinner. We're all sinners. If you're not wearing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ever going to be accepted. But we are accepted. He made us accepted in the blood. Listen, speaking of the blood, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, in whom, that's Jesus, that's our Savior, that's the blood, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Did God have to do that? No. No. See, if Jesus had come and died for our sins without God sending him, and it would never happen. I'm just speaking of something here that would never happen. But to make a point, it's still in the matter. God, the Father, before the foundation of the world, chose to sacrifice his beloved Son on that cross for our righteousness, for our salvation, and chose his blood to cleanse us from our sins. Jesus was sent here for the precise reason to purchase us through his blood. God chose to accept it. That's the grace. Not only did God send him, God sent him for the purpose to shed his blood to forgive our sins. Go to 1 Thessalonians. We must put on his merit. We must put on his righteousness. We must come to God in his name. God hear preachers say, we can pray without going through the name of Jesus. What airhead would ever think such a thing? We must go through Christ. It's just like a lot of people believe that they can work their way to heaven. They don't need Jesus. They're going to do it themselves. Well, they need to read Romans 1:25, do they not? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I got to start marking these, I get. They say, I think that's where I'm at. Anyway, not just justification, but also sanctification. Justification is righteousness. Sanctification is our holiness. Holy! We're holy! And I'm going to have to stop pretty quick, but look at verse 3. For this is the will of God. Your sanctification, your holiness, your being holy in the flesh, it's the will of God, and it's the will of God to make you sanctified, that you should abstain from fornication. You should abstain from sin. Okay? Every Christian should work hard to abstain from sin. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God made you that way. He made me that way. And it is our job as Christians to present ourselves in this life and present ourselves in this life that we are holy, that we are doing what? Wearing Christ. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, Gentiles here is used as lost people. that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we have forewarned you and testified. The word sanctified means to be purified. That is, for us Christians in Christ to be in the state of purity, holy, righteous, and everything. Because we're wearing Christ. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. So the Lord shows on in chapter 20, in chapter 4, verse 24 of Ephesians, and tells us that ye put on the new man. What's the new man? Christ is the new man, isn't he? Which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The man is also called a new creature or new creation. And how is it? In Christ. Putting on Christ. Walking in Christ. When people see us, they should see Christ in us, Christ on us. We're not Jesus, but we are in him, and he is in us. And we walk in this world dressed with his righteousness, dressed with his holiness, dressed with everything he is. That's what people ought to say. See, and the only way they can see it is how. If you're wearing it, right? If I go get a new jacket and hang to my closet, you never know I got it, did you? I got to wear it for you to know that it's there. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to get next week. We're going to start in Romans 6, verse 3 through 6. And that's talking about us being baptized in Jesus. Let me give you some thoughts. What do you mean when we're buried in his likeness, rose again to walk in newness? Does baptism do anything for us? It's not that we're being baptized, it's how we're being baptized in Jesus. The first thing a Christian should do after salvation is be baptized and join the church. Baptism is a symbol of what the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It doesn't cleanse us. Doesn't make us holy. It is the image of the baptism and what it represents with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Baptism just makes us, it's an act of righteousness we do because the Lord told us to be baptized, and it makes us part of the church and we're going to be part of the church. It doesn't save us, doesn't cleanse us, doesn't make us holy. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the watery grave like Jesus went into the grave and came out. We'll get into that next week. I've been pretty anxious about getting there. So have a good week. Everybody have safe travels. Everybody get back to see us in a couple weeks.